Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had that dream where you are in distress and you need to scream for help? And you start to scream for help, and you open your mouth really wide, and nothing comes out. If you haven't had that dream, trust me, it is horrible. If you have had that dream, then you know exactly what a helpless feeling it is. At the very moment you most urgently need to make yourself heard, your voice simply disappears. Fortunately, it's just a dream, right? In fact, in some dreams, when that part happens and you try to scream and nothing comes out, that's when you actually realize I'm dreaming, and then you can wake up and everything is okay-ish. Poor old Zechariah. His muteness was not a dream. Do you remember what happened to him? Zechariah was a priest who was married to Elizabeth, who herself was a descendant of the very first priest, Aaron, brother of Moses. They were an old couple who had never had children because, as Luke tells us, Elizabeth could not conceive. One day, Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties in the inner sanctuary of the temple while the rest of the congregation prayed outside the inner part of the sanctuary. While Zechariah was inside the inner sanctuary by himself lighting incense, the angel Gabriel appeared, and Zechariah was terrified. But the angel said the thing that angels always say, "Do not be afraid," which of course never works. And then he did the other thing that angels always seem to do, and he said an impossible thing. "Your prayer has been heard," he told Zechariah. "Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." And old Zechariah, thinking of his old wife Elizabeth, thought that was absolutely ludicrous. And he said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." That's what it actually says. And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." And that's exactly what happened. The people outside the sanctuary began to wonder what was taking so long in there. And when Zechariah finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. And somehow they realized he must have had some kind of vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak, but he finished out his service at the temple anyway, and then he went home. And before too long, his wife Elizabeth conceived, just as the angel had said. Luke tells us that she considered this a sign of God's favor on her, and she praised God. Luke doesn't tell us what she thought of her husband's 9-month silence. And Luke doesn't tell us what Zechariah thought either. But we can imagine, can't we? This man has devoted his entire life to the service of God. And one day, he actually has a divine encounter right there in the temple with all those people right outside the door. And he can't tell anyone about it. And then this equally unbelievable thing happens, and his old wife conceives a child. And in all these months and months of happy anticipation of this little baby boy, Zechariah can't say a word. He was rendered mute because of his doubt. And I can relate to that. Can you? We are living in this really fragile, painful time in our world right now. And there's so much tension and conflict all around us and within us. And it can be difficult to see how we're going to make our way forward into a future that feels safe for all and just for all and sustainable and peaceful. Right now, everything just seems so messy. And amidst the noise and the chaos and the anger and the discord and the disorder and the anxiety, we doubt. We doubt there really is a way forward towards peace and justice. We doubt that we can ever find our way back towards each other across this chasm, across this red-blue divide. We doubt we will ever even want to. And some of us are dealing with our own particular personal pain or pain in our families. And we may doubt that healing or reconciliation or new life is even possible. And so some of us have woken up to discover we've lost our words. Our doubt, our fear has silenced our hope. For 9 long months, Zechariah could not speak. And then the time came for Elizabeth to give birth. And she had a baby boy. And her neighbors and her friends heard about it, and they all rejoiced with her. And still, Zechariah couldn't speak. The baby was there, just as the angel had said. And Zechariah's words, they didn't come. Little baby boy, making all the little baby noises, his father holding him, unable to make a noise in response. Sometimes even joy does not undo the damage of our doubt. But after 8 days, it was time to name the child. And the family gathered around and wanted his name to be Zechariah, because baby boys were supposed to be named for their fathers. But Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. Who does a thing like that? The people asked. None of your relatives are named John. And they began motioning to Zechariah to find out what he thought the boy's name should be. And Zechariah got a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And all the people were amazed. And at that moment, only then, when Zechariah had finally given public witness to the reality that God had promised, the reality that Zechariah had doubted, only then was his mouth opened and his tongue freed. Luke tells us that Zechariah was then filled with the Holy Spirit and began prophesying, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them." And on his prophecy goes from there. You heard the words of it. Those words were shot through with allusions to the Old Testament, allusions to the Psalms and the prophets, and a promise after promise of salvation from hatred, rescue from danger, the freedom to love and to serve without fear in holiness and righteousness, the blessing of all the nations of the world, the light that will guide the feet of the people into the way of peace. And as he spoke this prophecy, it was a sign that the fulfillment of all these ancient promises, all the longings of all the centuries, the fulfillment had begun. Jesus wasn't even born yet, but the baby John was the sign. Words break through on a tongue that had been rendered silent. God's promised future breaks through into reality. And it sounds like a song. We call it the Song of Zechariah, or the Benedictus, the blessing. And in the Catholic and Anglican churches, it is sung every day as part of early morning prayers. Prayers that begin in the dark and go until daybreak. And doesn't it make sense that these are the words that the church through the centuries has sung in the dark, waiting for the light to dawn? In the 1970s, renowned pianist and composer Keith Jarrett began playing totally improvised solo concerts. He would walk out on stage, sit down at the piano, and without rehearsal or sheet music, would begin to play. In 1975, a 17-year-old German girl, Germany's youngest concert promoter at that time, persuaded the Cologne Opera House to host Keith Jarrett for one of these improvised concerts. It was to be the first ever jazz concert that opera house had ever seen. A few hours before the concert was to begin, Keith Jarrett stopped by just to meet the piano. And when he got there, he discovered that there had been a mistake. The piano that he had ordered, the concert grand piano, was not there. What was there on the stage was this little baby grand rehearsal piano in poor condition. The pedals didn't work properly. There were keys that were sticking. The upper registry was very thin and tinny. And the piano was too small to make a sound loud enough for such a big concert house. It was unplayable. And there was no time for the right piano to get delivered. So the teenage girl frantically worked to try to get the piano fixed. But all the tuning made it only marginally better. So Keith Jarrett refused to play. The only thing left for the girl to do was to just beg him not to cancel the concert. Jarrett saw the girl's desperation. He thought of the 1,400 people who were about to show up for the concert, and he looked at the girl and he said, "Never forget, only for you." And he went out on the stage. He and his producer recorded the concert that night because they wanted evidence of what a musical catastrophe sounds like. They wanted to be able to play this for future concert promoters to show them how important it is to have the right instrument. But as it turns out, a musical catastrophe is not what happened there that night. What happened that night in the Cologne Opera House was actually a masterpiece. All the adjustments that Jarrett had to make to cope with this broken-down piano, the thin, tinny upper registers, the weak bass register, the small sound. This unplayable piano pushed him to make creative choices that he never would have made if he'd been sitting at the perfect instrument. It was a magical, luminous, irrepeatable performance, and the audience loved it. And for 40 years, that recording that his producer made has been the best-selling solo jazz album in history and the best-selling piano recording in history. Instead of walking away from the mess he'd been faced with, he embraced it, and he made music out of it. He became, as he liked to say, a conduit of the Creator. And what came out was only beauty. Right now, our world seems like an unplayable piano. Our most basic instinct might be to turn away, or to turn inward, or to turn only towards those we already agree with and feel safe with. And all of that is just another way of falling silent in the face of a world that desperately needs to hear a song that is beautiful and true, a song of promise. And Zechariah reminds us that sometimes the promise doesn't really start to take hold until we can pronounce it, even out of our own doubt. Can we consent to the music, even when the instrument and the conditions are not perfect? God has raised up for us a mighty Savior, that we would be saved from hatred, that we might love without fear, that we might be led into the way of peace. This is our song. And it is time to sing it.